All right. Again, thank you for being here this morning and showing your faithfulness to the Lord. It's a little bit later than we usually get up, and I will not be long. I know you got things with family today, but I want to thank you for being faithful to God and being in His house this morning. We're coming to the end of our year. Of course, we're reminded of our theme, which is, desiring growth. And I hope that in some way this year you grew in your faith. Amen. Growth is a matter of taking steps forward and making sure we're not stalling out wherever we are at when it comes to growth. One of the reasons we don't take steps of growth is because of contentment. Now, when we think of contentment, it's a good thing. But when we think of it spiritually, contentment is a bad thing, in a sense. And let me explain that. We should always be content in what God has done for us. His provisions, His love, and all of those different things. But we should never be content in what we do for Him and our love for Him. Where we are at in our Christian life. Because when that happens, we quit going on. We quit taking further steps. And that's going to tie into the story this morning. We know the story of Christmas, and we know it well. Mary and Joseph, of course, they're at the manger, and the Savior is born there. In the same country at that time, there were some shepherds. And shepherds were out doing what shepherds do. They were taking care of their flock. Suddenly, an angel appears to them. The angel starts giving them some details. They're telling them that something has happened that is going to be a source of joy to many. They tell them that the Savior has been born. And then they tell them exactly where He is and where they could find Him if they so desired. And then after that, the heavenly host starts praising God, and then it's gone. And really, these shepherds, they got all the details about Christmas from the very best source that they can get it from. But what I want us to notice this morning is you'll look at verse number 15, please. It says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another." Now, I want you to see what's going on here. They hear all this, the angel speaks to them, tells them all the details, and then the angels are gone, and these guys stop and start rehearsing this one to another. They start talking, and then look what they say after that. "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing, which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us." They heard what happened. They believed what they heard, but they wanted more. They weren't content with just hearing about all the details, hearing the songs of the angels, knowing where the Christ child was. They wanted to actually go and see this great thing. They took it a step further. You know, Christmas is just about over after today. Now, I get it. It's everybody's favorite time of the year. People hate for it to come to an end. I mentioned that. I know at the end of January, the beginning of February, right out here on 33rd Street, someone will throw their Christmas tree away. Every year. I mean, it's like February. And they're like, now it's time to get rid of it. And it'll sit out there because the recyclers are done. And as brown as it is, it's browner and browner and browner. That's how people are. They'll keep their lights on. They'll keep their Christmas decorations. They'll keep listening to the music. Seems like Christmas starts earlier every year and it ends later. But those are the outward trappings of Christmas. That's all the things that we see on the outside. If we like Christmas that much, we should be like the shepherds. We should take it a step further. For Christmas is not just something that happens. The trappings of Christmas is not just something that happens once a year for a Christian. It's something we partake of all year long. And these guys heard the story, but they were not just content. They wanted to go see it. They said, let's go. Let's find this. We got all the details. Let's go check this out. It was a life-altering event for them. How did they take it a step further, and how can we take it a step further in our lives? Let me give you a few things in the brief time that we have. First of all, it's because of revelation. Look at verse 8 of the same of Luke 2. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. They're out. It's going to be a long night. They're keeping care. They're doing their job. They're taking care of the flock. Verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And then there's an invitation. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Everything they needed to know was told to them right there. They didn't need secondhand information. They got it straight from the source. They were told everything they needed to know. Don't be afraid that we're speaking to you. Understand that there is potential joy for everyone. The Savior is born, and there's where he's going to be. By the way, we don't need a visit from an angel. We have all the revelation that we need. Some people like this. Well, I want to see it in a dream. Then eat a big meal before you go to bed. You'll have a dream. Well, I wanna hear it directly from God. He doesn't work that way anymore. Nope. You hear these preachers on television, you know, these charismatics, they want your space seed money, by the way. And God spoke to me directly. No, he didn't. God doesn't speak like that. God's given us all the revelation we need, and it is right here in his word. We don't need angels anymore. We have the word of God right there. It tells us about life. It gives us, in our Savior, an example to follow. We don't have to know how to live on this. We don't have to figure out how to live on this earth. We don't need to figure out how to make it work. We've been told in the Bible how to live and how God can make it work. It tells us of his death, which is an invitation for us for eternal life. That's been revealed in the word of God. And it tells us of his commands, a manual for living. Some of you undoubtedly last night, there was things for the children you had to put together, right? That was the part of Christmas that I didn't like. You know, it's like, okay, how long are we going to be up putting this bike together? And if you're like me and you're a guy, if you're a lady, you're not, by the way. If you're, you know, we don't like instruction manuals. That's too much time. I mean, how hard could it be to put 50 pieces together, right? And then you usually end up with the right kind of extra pieces and the thing's bent sideways. But we've got an instruction manual for life. God's revealed everything we need to know. What's my encouragement for you? Let's make 2023 a year where we really get into our Bible. Let's make it a year where we really want to know what God wants us to do, and we're really ready to follow him. Let's see the Bible like Job did. Job, who went through all kinds of problems and trials, not of his own doing, and here's what he said in the midst of it all in Job chapter 23 and verse 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. He says, I've not disobeyed him. And then he said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. He was sick. And he said, more than food, more than nourishment, more than that, I have to have his words. We have a whole book full of his words. The problem with us is we don't avail ourselves of them. We're not like Job, who said that his word is more important to us than food. We're spoiled. We're like at a spiritual smorgasbord. That's another word for buffet, right? How many of you knew that was buffet? They used to call them smorgasbords. It's like buffet is so much easier. A smorgasbord sounds like something you buy at IKEA, right? Yeah. But we have a spiritual buffet and we don't eat. We walk right by it. There are countries around this world where people, if they wanted to read a Bible, they couldn't. They don't have it. They don't have access to it. And in some countries, it's illegal to have it. We have the Word of God, and yet we so often neglect it. But not only was there a revelation, there was a recital. Look at verse 12. And suddenly, after all of that, there was an angel. There was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Suddenly, praise breaks out. By the way, why wouldn't there? That's good news. Whenever there's good news, shouldn't we be thankful for it? By the way, that is what music is for. Music's not for us. Now, we enjoy it. We like to sing it. But the songs we sing ought to bring honor and glory to God. Our music ought to be for Him. Amen. Their song was a recital of God's glory. Glory to God in the highest. By the way, the Savior's arrival was no ordinary event. It is one that demanded gratefulness to God. Isn't that what Christmas? Christmas shouldn't be centered on self. It ought to be centered on others. We say that, right? When you're a child, you love to get the gifts. You're mesmerized. And our family, everybody comes over on Christmas morning. Everybody. We're pushing 30 now. And all the presents are there. Could you imagine how many there are? 20-something people? This morning, Allison's family was the first to get there, and Selah walked in. And she just stood there in front of the presents, like mesmerized, like, you gotta be kidding me. And I had to explain to her they're not all for her, okay? But as you get older and you become an adult, there's more pleasure in giving to your children. There's more pleasure in being one who shares with others. We have the greatest gift ever. That's the gift of salvation. We ought to recite God's glory. We don't even think. People all around will sing Christmas hymns. They have no clue what they're about. Think about them. Joy to the world. I know, we all like that. The Lord has come. It's not just joy to the world because you're throwing it out there. The joy is because the Lord has come. Hark, the herald angels sing. What are they singing? Glory to the newborn King. He wasn't a babe, although he was a newborn. He was the King. He is going to be the King of this earth one day, and He's King of all eternity. Then the thing that says, born to give them second birth. The world sings these songs that hold scriptural keys to eternal life and joy on this earth, and we run right by it. We don't even see it. And then it's a recital of great peace, goodwill, on earth peace, goodwill towards men. People are nicer to each other nowadays, aren't they? Now, don't worry, New Year's coming, and they'll go back to cutting you off and all that stuff. But it's hard to see peace on this earth. You look around, and all we see is turmoil. Yep. There's a Christmas song. It's actually made from a poem. It's called "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day." It was written on Christmas Day in 1863 by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. He was a 57-year-old widower with 6 children. His son had come back from fighting in the Civil War, and at that time there was concern that he was going to be paralyzed. And in the midst of this, on Christmas morning, Longfellow, he heard from his house, he heard the bells ringing at the church, and he heard the singing from the church, and they were singing about goodwill towards men, and he was actually a little bit down, thinking, how can there be goodwill towards men? We're fighting a war, and everything around here seems bad. But if you know the end of the song, if you listen to the song, the first part's a little discouraging, and then he comes to the end. He said, "In despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men." See, he saw the end of it. And if your whole life is tied up to this earth, you're not going to experience the peace of God. The peace of God is something that transcends anything that's going on this earth. Anything that's going on in your life. And it's all because of Jesus Christ. And then there's a reflection, verse 15. "And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, The shepherds said one to another, let us go now into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. The reason they took that next step is because they thought about what they had heard. They sat there and they meditated on what had just happened. They heard the angels from heaven and they believed them. That took faith. They thought about what they had heard, that the Savior was born. They meditated upon it. And then they thought about what they should do because of it. And they decide to go see the Savior. That takes obedience. Listen, for the most Christians, what we hear from the Bible and the truths that we understand are nothing but water off a duck's back. We never give them a second thought. We sing the songs each and every Sunday. We know what they mean, and yet we walk out of here and we forget everything about it. We say we believe the truths of the Bible, and then when life hits us right smack dab in the face, we forget everything that we say we believe. Let's not be like that. The Savior came to bring us hope. What does your knowledge of God, what difference does it make in your life? If we're not willing to meditate on God and what He's doing, we won't. We know God's word, we know His will, we know His way, but we don't follow it. And then it changed their route. Look at verse 16. Not only did they go, listen, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. I like that. They didn't just go, they hustled. They're like, let's go see this thing. It's like, if we're gonna go, let's go. And they took that route straight to the Savior and they hustled to get there. I think if we really understand who Jesus is, it will change our route. We will allow Him to work in our life and there will be a passion in our life to follow Him. Let me ask you this. Are you passionate about Him? I mean, too many people are just like, you know, yeah, I'm a Christian. It amazes me this morning and it irritates me. I'll just be quite honest. How many churches are closed? By the way, thank you for not knowing any better. You know, you think you come in on Christmas, it's like, okay, here we go. We're going to be singing, you know, they call it preaching the choir. Thank you for showing the importance of Christ in your life. There's a church by our house, and I drove by it, and no one's there this morning. What a shame. Oh, I love Jesus, and I worship Him, so here's how we'll do it. Take the weekend off. What kind of nonsense is that? I mean, shouldn't we be passionate about Him? And by the way, I love everything about Christmas. We do so many things with the family and little traditions here and there, and we'll do it today and all that stuff, but we're not going to just not come to church because of it. Well, what a bummer. Christmas fell to church. You know, it's almost like our day's ruined because Christmas fell on a Sunday. Well, la-di-da. I mean, isn't it His birthday? Can He come to the party? Can we go to His house for a little bit? And I'm preaching to the choir because you're here. Those of you on live stream, you should have been here. I'm just telling you. I know if you're sick, stay home. Okay? You know, we say, if you're sick, we don't want you here, and if you're dead, we don't want you here. And then rehearsing. Look at verse 17, and I'm hustling. And it came, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They got so excited, they didn't just rush to the Savior, they told everybody about it. That's next level Christianity. I can tell you how serious you are as a Christian. Who are you telling about it? By the way, quit listening to all these critics on social media and all over the place. Well, you guys believe this, you yada, yada, yada. Who have you helped? That's why they don't tell you their names and they're critical. They don't tell you what church they go to because they don't do anything for the Savior. Tell people. Hey, by the way, one reason sometimes we're afraid to tell people we're saved is because they're going to like, seriously? I would have never guessed. But listen, when something's good, you tell people about it, right? Let's let everybody know how wonderful it is. Christmas is a time of sharing. People just like to give. Why don't we give the gospel? Remember one time, years ago, we had three kids, and we went to a store, and they were in line paying, and I went to sit down, and I sat down next to a Salvation Army bucket. I guess Santa was on break. So I just sat down there and I was waiting, and they're in a long line, and someone came by and they saw me and they thought I worked for the Salvation Army. And they put some money in and they said, "I'm sorry, that's all I have." And I'm like, "It's okay, God bless you." And then I thought, I wonder if I can get some more money. I mean, I'm here doing nothing, so they're coming by and I'm like, and "Oh yeah, okay, you know." And I took 10%, I thought that was fair. Okay. It wasn't hard, they wanted to give. What are we giving? Let's give Jesus to the world. Let's give the Savior to everybody. And then lastly, and this is just simple, we've talked about it, rejoicing. And the shepherds, verse 20, returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. It happened just like the angel said. And they were fired up about it. By the way, that'll help us be vocal about him. When you let him work in your life, man, there's a lot to praise God about. There's a lot to praise God about already. We just don't think about it. But when you really understand how good he is, it's easy to rejoice. You know, take this spirit we have this time of year, this joy and all that, and let's see if you can do it in the middle of January, right? When everything's done and everything's put away and people are back to their lives and all that stuff. Let's rejoice because we know this newborn king. What the world has at Christmas once a year is available to us all year long. Amen. Why don't we keep it going? Why don't we just keep the joy and all the good things that just come from knowing God and knowing Christ and keep it going all year long? Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a minute, please, if we may. Thank you for listening intently. It went a little bit fast. I didn't want to keep you here long. But Christmas will be over after today. I'm sure none of you are going to be here at midnight tearing your Christmas tree down, but it's over. The season's coming to an end. But everything that's good about this season is good all year long. How's it working for you? Do you experience the joy of Jesus Christ? See, the world's excited about this time of year because they get a few days off. They get some presents. They get to give some presents. But it's more than that. They miss the joy of Jesus Christ. They miss that Savior that was born in a manger and died on a cross and is alive in heaven and coming again. Let's not miss that. Let's be like the shepherds that say, "Yes, I was told about the event, but I want to experience it in my life." Are you experiencing the joy of God in your life? Maybe you're here this morning, and the greatest Christmas gift you can get, if you do not have it, is salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross for your sins. Let me just ask you a simple question this morning. If you were to die today, are you 100% for sure that you would go to heaven, or do you have some doubt? You say, "Pastor, I have some doubt. I'm not 100% for sure. I could not give you a scriptural reason." With everybody's head bowed and eyes closed, if that's you, if you would say, "Pastor, I'm not 100% for sure if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know that. Pastor, would you pray for me?" Would you just lift your hand briefly and then put it down after I see it? Anybody at all? Let's stand together. The piano's going to play. If God spoke to you about anything, why don't you come? Maybe you need to say, "2023, I am going to have everything from God that he wants me to have. I'm going to be passionate about him. I'm going to rejoice and have the peace of God in my heart."